Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me in the studio today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. And I hope you, with your phone call at 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, come join us. We're live in the studio today. We'll be here for another 3 hours. So come be part of New Life.
Loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
You definitely
need. I
should
go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, wishing you more and more hummingbirds and not vultures in your life. Two of my favorite
hummingbirds
would be Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich.
Hi, Steve.
Hey,
how
Steve?
Are you?
I got a little off there because Terry was telling me my mic was a little bit hot there, so I don't know what that means. I don't want to burn my lips on my microphone, but anyway, sure, glad everybody's with us today here on New Life Live. Mylon, Jill, how are you guys doing today?
We are doing wonderful.
I'm doing well, too. It is an absolutely gorgeous day here.
It is.
And we're doing well.
Yeah.
For a Monday, you know, I mean, everybody's got that little Monday blah thingy going on. Yeah. I think most of us do. Uh-huh.
Hey, I was reading, as you know, I read the major journals, People.
Yeah, I see. And, I see you didn't want to explore that thought, though.
Yeah. No,
People. That's okay.
And
you
us,
can go on to
and
journals.
I was reading that there are 27% more fathers raising their children alone than in years past. And
I would believe that.
You know, and we see more women in affairs, more marriages where she's the one stepping out. And, you know, it just all kind of goes together that in this new world, and it's been new for a while, women avail themselves to all the temptations that are there, and they succumb like men do. Maybe not as much, I don't know. But it really does make sense that more men are probably raising their kids by themselves.
Well, that's equal rights for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Equal misery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree. I don't think anybody's any happier as a result of it. But I think that it is a sad state of affairs. I mean, the decline of our family unit is just so appreciable and easy to see, but it's a horrible problem.
Well, yeah, and I commend those men that are willing to step up to the plate because I don't think it comes as naturally for the majority of men.
Right,
but
I agree.
In terms of how they organize around
any single parent, male or female, has a very big load, and typically one of them bears more of a responsibility. They feel more responsible for the child.
Yes.
Typically, one of them doesn't, and that sets up a horrible problem between the parents, the child, and the ex.
It absolutely does.
Well,
yes.
When you decide to divorce and not stay together for the children because you use some lame excuse, well, the children shouldn't see us fighting all the time, or the children shouldn't be raised in a home without love, you know, any of those kind of rationalizations, you're sentencing your children essentially to live in two separate places if both people care, and if they don't, you're sentencing them to be without a parent.
Yes, and you're destroying the union that they were born out of,
right?
So it's the very foundation of their lives.
All right, so when you go through one of these babies, you know how tough it is. It is very, very difficult, painful, and it's needless. People, if you got two willing people, you can work this stuff out. There's no magic potion or formula other than one willing person plus one willing person continuing to humble themselves and be willing can work it out. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Last week we had Bill Moss on the program. He is our friend who is 91 and has 6 years of sobriety. He's just an amazing guy. He told his story. He wrote a book called Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, and we gave it away. We had a great response. If you missed that show and you're interested, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get you a copy. It's Bill Moss, 91, 6 years sobriety, got sober at age 85, and when he got sober, he didn't call the Betty Ford Clinic. He called Betty Ford. They were friends. But anyway, the book is entitled Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. It's a beautiful little book, and it's a great book to meditate on and inspiration. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is where you call, or 1-800-639-5433. Those are the numbers if you need help, or if you would like to help us, somebody will answer that phone. Now, let's go to the phones at 1-800-229-3000. And let's talk to Mr. Shane here. Shane's calling us from Paxton, Nebraska. KJLT is the station. Shane, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Good. You need to speak way, way on up there, buddy.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, well, I tell you what my question is I was without a job for a while, and I did get a job, and I think the Lord helped me find this job. But now I've been engaged, and this job keeps me out of state all week.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my new fiance once a week, and I believe it's waning on my relationship, but there is no other jobs here, and I'm not sure how to handle it.
Okay, well, it's good that you're thinking about this, because once you get married, you're probably not going to instantly change jobs.
Right.
So,
I'd like to do this beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of curious what is a person supposed to do when there are no jobs available, and yet this is like interfering with she hasn't said anything, but I can feel it in our relationship that it's going to cause some problems, I believe.
Well,
so you're anticipating the problems.
But, you know, you guys, don't you think it's kind of a problem that they're not talking about it?
Well, that would be my thought, Steve, is that, Shane, you're saying you're worried about this. Okay, good that you're thinking about it, but why haven't you brought it up with your fiancé and checked it out with her?
Actually, I have talked to her about it a little bit, and she says, well, it'll all work out. God will help it work out. And I truly believe God, you know, if anything's possible through God, but we've even prayed about it. It's just that I kind of feel a waning on our relationship. Because we never see each other, and this is the most beautiful relationship I've ever had in my life, and I'd rather have a relationship than a job that I got to be afford to live, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mylon, what do you think?
Well, her statement, it'll all work out, is sort of a minimizing statement. It's a bit of a dismissive statement. It sort of says this isn't a big deal, and she could be... those kinds of statements I hear from avoiders and pleasers, which means they don't like to take things on head on.
Mm.
And so what I would do is I would even just ask her, you know, certainly underneath those words you do have feelings. So what are they? But you see, a person, if she's an avoider or a pleaser, she's not going to want to tell you she's scared, or she's not going to want to show disapproval for the possibility of creating conflict. There's conflict aversion, you see, in this kind of a person.
Well, but Mylan, can I interject? I'm
Please.
Wondering if she's reacting to maybe Shane's anxiousness about this. I mean, Shane, I hear that you're just really missing her. You long to be with her and to be close to her. And, you know, you are engaged, and that is part of that. It's hard to wait to get to that wedding day, to be married, to be together. And so I wonder if that's an attempt. I mean, I typically think that couples often polarize to try to balance things out, or all people do in general. And so as you are anxious, she, instead of really hearing the feelings like Mylan is talking about, she's kind of going to the other side and saying, oh, it's going to be okay, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, it's a natural reaction, but it's not always the most helpful.
And what Shane is saying is, my feelings are waning.
Yeah.
And I have to go wax, wane, wax. What does that mean? It means it's decreasing. And so...
Is that true,
Shane?
That
might make him be afraid of... Mm-hmm. And then, but what this has potential of doing is settling the relationship down to a place of reality.
Hmm.
But Shane,
well, it's definitely reality. It's just that you are right. I am. I'm stressing a lot about this because I don't want to put a damper on our relationship, and
you're afraid.
I want it to work out wonderfully, and I have to find another employment closer to home. I'm over 100 miles away every day, and
or
I'm
move
back in the evening.
Well, here's the deal. I think you need to be talking about it. And I think you need to be telling her how much you hate it, and that you're going to do everything that you can to find another job. I think you ought to be evaluating whether or not your relationship can handle it. Every day you ought to be looking at that and seeing whether you're getting closer in spite of it or not. I mean, if the reality is this is your job for the rest of your life, or you can't work and you can't eat, then you're going to have to keep that job. It's just that simple.
So it's like looking at your options. Like, I don't know if you heard me. I said, well, you could also move. You know, maybe that isn't what you want to do, but is that an option?
Yeah.
And I think, Shane, also looking at, okay, you know, when you're moving towards marriage, you're making a commitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of what is so important about that commitment is it holds you solid during the times when your feelings wax and wane. And I think you're getting scared about your feelings changing. And so to remind yourself, okay, you know, does that mean just because maybe one day you're feeling a little more distant versus close, does that mean that the relationship is less significant?
Yeah. And let's talk about some things you could do to and see if you're doing any of these things to stay as connected as possible. You can either... each have an iPhone and do this thing called FaceTime where you're looking at each other and
Steve's
talking to
each other. Steve's an expert at that, right, Steve?
I know how to do this because I travel almost every week of my life. You can use Skype, which doesn't cost any money, if you have laptops and you take yours with you. You can write letters, which, you know, you leave and on Monday night you're sitting down there before you go to bed and you read the Bible and you write a letter and you get it off in the mail. It goes there before you get there, and really express your feelings. And maybe she can do the same thing for you. You text all week long. You keep her informed about details of your life. Those are some things that will draw you closer together even though you're absent.
Right.
You guys doing any of that? Are you doing any of that stuff?
Oh, well, absolutely. We do. We communicate daily. We do text each other. I don't have an iPhone, but she calls me every evening at the motel room. We're also journaling back and forth as well.
Well, that's good. That's good. But you need to talk about this thing. You need to say how you feel about it. Ask her how she feels about it. Yes, you know God's going to work it out, but... how do you feel about it?
Right, and that you need her to hear your feelings about it, not just reassure you that it's going to be okay, but really hear, you know, the depth of your feeling, because that will actually be more reassuring to you when she gets it.
Right.
See,
right.
Shane.
Well, we have talked and prayed about it a lot together.
So. Shane, you know, Jill just talked about you being scared. She didn't use that exact word, I don't think, but she talked about you being scared that if it's waning, then perhaps the intensity is lost. And if perhaps the intensity is lost because of proximity, that might frighten you that I don't feel as close. And do you think that's true?
Well, I don't know. It's just I don't want to put a burden on her. And she says she assures me that she's not going anywhere. And I don't think she is, and I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, so you're feeling insecure, though.
A little bit, I guess.
Okay,
I want to be. I want to be the man that God depended, asked me to be for her.
Well, but there's nothing wrong with being a scared person and telling a person you're feeling insecure. That's the honest person God wants you to be. And I think Jill's really onto a spot right here. That's important for you to just share that important piece. This distance scares me. I feel insecure with it.
I'll mention it again to her, but I don't know where to go from here. There just hardly is any jobs in this area, and I got to make a living.
Well, that's right? The reality that you need to keep in the forefront there.
And that's part of the man God called you to be, is somebody who's going to provide.
But see, Jill said another brilliant thing a minute ago. She said, what's a marriage commitment? It's a commitment to, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health and in sorrow and in happiness and all these different stages that a real marriage goes through. And you're experiencing that before you get married. The good news about that is a lot of people get married in an idealized state. And then all of a sudden reality sets in and they're scared.
They're like,
what happened? They're freaked out by that. But you're experiencing more of a reality and to say, okay, how do we, as Steve said, keep that connection amidst this stressor in our life?
Right.
And to distinguish between missing someone and longing for them and kind of that impending doom or like something's wrong.
Well, I hope not, but I don't think so.
Right, but do you hear what I'm saying, that there's a difference there?
Oh, yeah. I am scared a little bit. I want to do the right thing, and I just am not sure where to turn because I just don't know if I can be in this job anymore. It's just...
So
I can't be unemployed either.
Right. So you're putting your need before God, and it's not been revealed to you yet. What is next?
Yeah.
So Shane, what other no-win situations have you been in your life where you feel like you're caught between the horns of a dilemma and you've lost? Has that ever happened before in a previous relationship or at home or a previous marriage?
We were both married before.
Yeah.
And there was a big missing there, but. That was because we jumped into a marriage without knowing each other, and this is a totally different relationship. We've both grown together before we ever have been together, and it's very strong. It's just I don't want to jeopardize things, that's all.
Well, see, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's a good problem. The stronger it is, the scarier it is, because the stakes are higher. I might lose somebody I really, really
like. Something really good.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the both the good news and the bad news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to send you my new book, Walking Into Walls, and I hope and pray that something in there is going to really help you. I think it will. And so anybody else interested, we have them at New Life before the stores have them. So you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. These are five different walls or roadblocks that prevent God from working in your life. And so if you're thinking God's going to work it all out, but you've got these blind spots that block God's work in you, then God's not going to work it out because He can't, because you can't see where you need to step up or step back, one or the other. It's Walking Into Walls by Worthy Publishing. It's the latest. Let's go to Ike from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Ike. Welcome to New Life.
How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm all right.
You're all right? Okay.
Yep.
How can we help?
My question today is I can't ever seem to get a straight answer on this one. If a Christian commit suicide, do they go to heaven?
Is the reason you can't get a straight answer is because the next question is always, why do you ask?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And I think that people don't want to give the straight answer because
Yeah.
The different problems involved with it.
Well, Ike, why do you ask?
Well, it's really tough for me to
say,
but I just really...
Okay, hold on. I want you to hold that thought. Okay. We're going to go to a break, and I want you to be thinking about telling me what in your life has no hope. What leads you to a place of hopelessness? Right. Why do you think that suicide is even an alternative, one of the choices that you might want to make? So you think about that, and we'll talk about it, and we will give you the straight answer. We'll tell you the absolute truth about suicide and heaven, hell, and all of that stuff, okay? We'll do our part. You do yours. You're listening to New Life Live. If you want to join us on the program, we're here another couple of hours and more than a half. 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We are talking with Ike. Ike's asked about whether or not a person goes to heaven if they commit suicide. And I've asked him to tell us what it is in his life that makes it so hopeless. What are the things that even lead to an option of suicide? Ike, help us understand your situation.
Okay. For me, I was adopted, and I feel like it starts there. It starts at the very beginning. I feel this rejection, and I feel like I've been rejected time and time again throughout my life. My so-called dad just kicked me out of the family business to make more money because he saw an opportunity there. And then I have had trouble overcoming sin in my life, and I try and try to overcome. And I seem to not be able to, and now this sin that I have done is looks like it's going to lead to divorce, and I'm not going to be able to see my kids. And frankly, I'm just really tired of life struggles. I'm tired of every time I turn around, another struggle, and I don't want to do it anymore.
I am so sorry, Ike. You have been through a lot, mm-hmm. and going through a lot. The struggle is that sexual addiction.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever done anything to try to help that?
Every time I reach out for help, it seems to fall apart.
Okay.
Nothing ever comes of it.
All right. Let me tell you, my belief is that, well, first of all, we're sorry for how you feel, but this is how people feel when they stay in an addiction. This is what addiction does. You really have to see addiction as an animal that eats every part of your life. I don't care if it's gambling, alcohol, whatever it is, but especially sexual addiction, because it has the act of out-and-out betrayal in it. Whereas when a person drinks, they aren't necessarily betraying someone else. But if you could work on the addiction, if we could help you with that, I think a lot of this other stuff would fall in place for you, starting with the addiction. We see so many people. I mean, we can put you through every man's battle if you'd be willing to go. And just go from a standpoint of, okay, I've got nothing to lose. Take one last shot at this. Try to deal with this sexual sin, this addiction, and then decide what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Mylon, Jill, what are you thinking?
Ike, how old are your children?
12 to 5. 12, 9, 8, 5.
You've got four of them. Wow. Okay. So it sounds like you've tried everything that you know to do. But we know that the more hopeless people get, the less options they see. So that's where, like what Steve's talking about, if somebody outside of you could offer you some hope, or kind of hold that hope for you while you feel hopeless. You know, would you be willing to try something you haven't tried before? Like what Steve is proposing. And I know you don't have a lot of hope. That's okay. You don't have to believe it's going to work, but would you be willing to try it? And to kind of keep those faces of that 12, 9, 8, and 5-year-old that would feel so rejected to lose their dad. And so to try something new for them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Steve.
No, go ahead, Mylon.
Well, you talk about how the abandonment of your own adoption set into motion pain in your life. And now all of a sudden you're going to multiply that times 4.
That would be your kid's legacy.
And that would be your kid's legacy, and they would have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And so we really need restraints oftentimes to overcome our pain. We need to understand what the consequences of it would be. Yes, it takes us out of the pressure cooker. But I just heard a great sermon yesterday from my pastor, Rick Warren, which was all about how and why the world has been broken through sin and all the different arenas in which it's broken. And it's broken relationally, it's broken financially, it's broken emotionally, it's broken with respect to the weather and natural disasters. It's broken, broken, broken. And so we can think that everything emanates from my adoption and being rejected. But in reality, even if I wasn't adopted and rejected, quote unquote, although Steve's got a good comment for you about that, because they didn't even know you when they got rid of you, by the way. They didn't know what kind of a person you were. They weren't rejecting you. They were rejecting the concept of a child. But even if that wasn't the case, this is a big, old, hard world to live in with disappointment, relationally, addiction-wise, business-wise, around every corner for every person. And yesterday Rick said, he said, I want you to hear this so that the next time something difficult occurs, you won't be surprised. You'll expect it.
Because we kind of tend to think that it shouldn't be happening, right? that, gosh, we must be doing something wrong or we wouldn't have these difficulties. And even if we were doing everything right, we would still have difficulties.
Yeah. I know people that weren't adopted that had these same set of things going on. A business failure.
Right. Problems with family.
A problem with family, addiction, and the possibility of a divorce. I mean, so absolutely. All of us have to overcome. And so the point of the talk was, we'll never become sinless, but we can learn to sin less. And I thought that was a great takeaway.
Did you understand what Milan was saying about the adoption thing? That they didn't know you. They didn't know what an amazing father you could be or any of that. They didn't know you as a little boy. They just knew there was a baby that they wanted to have a better life than they could give. That really isn't rejection of you personally. But the suicide is an absolute rejection of your kids. Every one of those kids will feel like if they had done more, they could have prevented you from killing yourself. If they had been more, if they had loved you differently, all four.
The one thing I was going to do is make it look like an accident. You know?
Well, you won't be able to do that. It never really works. And people have been trying to do that for ages. To fake it for insurance companies and make it look like an accident. It just doesn't work.
And also, Ike, you know, Steve, when you were hitting on, the rejection, suicide, yes, it's a rejection for his kids. Ike, it's the ultimate rejection of you. Mm-hmm. You are fulfilling what you believe to be true. Hmm. You feel like you were rejected because you were adopted. And so now you're going to continue on doing to yourself what you thought your parents did to you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
I've got somebody.
Is actually a lot deeper than what I'm saying. I don't want to go into the details.
Listen, why don't we start with the sexual addiction and we'll pay for you to. We've got a donor that will scholarship you in.
You just have to show up.
Okay. All right. Do you think you can answer the question, though?
Yeah. In my mind, the suicide is a sin, but not the unpardonable sin.
Yeah.
Milan, you're a great theologian. What do you believe?
Well, I would agree with you. It depends upon whether you're Arminian or Calvinist in your thinking. I happen to be a Calvinist, so if a person is saved, they're always saved. You know, I can't do anything about that. I can't change that if I'm elect, if I'm God's chosen child, and if he's transferred me from the domain of darkness to light and I am his child, whatever I do, I don't unbecome his child. But that's not permission for us to do whatever we want with our lives.
No. And what you're experiencing is just a valley. Over the hill, around the corner, just around the bend, there's a whole other life waiting for you if you can just persevere through the valley.
I wish that was true, but my whole life has been a valley.
Well, one of the valleys.
Every time
though,
I think that I'm gonna come up here, you know, I thought I was gonna come up in business And, you know, and here I'm looking finally good. I've worked really
hard. Well,
wait
a second.
I'm finally getting somewhere. And then the IRS comes in and wham, hits you again. And it's like every time I see something coming up that looks good, it is always something else.
Wait a second.
It's always a valley.
Wait a second. Hold on. Now, the IRS, you might have not paid some back taxes, right?
It was a mistake on my form.
But here's what I want you to think about.
Mess.
Think about your life if you had not had the sexual addiction in it. You might have been more on top of your tax return. Your wife might be encouraging you and blessing you, and you might go off to work with a different attitude.
Yeah.
So by not taking care of the addiction, you've set yourself up for the rejection that you feel like you deserve, or the rejection you choose to live in. I'm offering you some hope that a lot of people pay a lot of money for. You don't have to.
I will take that.
Okay. And, you know, you probably need to be on an antidepressant for a while. Mm-hmm. and you need to be talking to some other guys, which that's going to happen when you get this sexual sin taken care of. You'll call me back in 30 days or so, and you'll say, I cannot believe how different my life is. Totally different.
Okay.
You got nothing to lose. All right, hold on. We're gonna get that to you, and I'm so glad you called, Ike.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Okay, we have a donor who said, look, you find some guys like Ike and I'll help pay for this thing. So we're really excited about that. And if you need help with a sexual problem, don't not call because you don't have the money. Maybe we can help you find that money. Maybe we have somebody that will help you with it, but we'll never know if you don't call first. All right? Okay. Let's go to Deborah from Springfield, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? And speak up there, Deborah. It's a long way to Springfield.
Okay. I'm doing okay. I have a question, and I feel stuck. I've been dealing with this for some time, and can't seem to find my way out of it.
Okay.
I want to know if I've lived in a committed relationship for 14 years with another woman, and because of our spiritual beliefs, we have not had sex for the last 2 years because we felt like that was a sin because we're not married.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of who we are, and we still want to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is that okay for us to be just companions and loving each other, but not, you know, having a sexual relationship or trying to get married or anything like that? But for all intents and purposes, we would be a couple.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, just to start this off in a safe way, and then we'll talk more about it, but, you know, there are many men who are friends and many women who are friends. That, you know, if you looked at their lives and you looked at their past, if they were having sex with this person, you'd say, well, that, you know, that makes sense. They're homosexual or whatever, but they're not. They might be feminine if they're a man. They might be masculine if a woman, but that doesn't mean that they're homosexual and practicing homosexual. They've made other choices, and I believe God would honor your choice to not have sex. I think you have to be honest with yourself as to whether or not that's really possible and whether or not you can be close friends without being a sexless wife and wife couple. They're two different things. You deciding to stay kind of in a committed marriage without the certificate, and deciding we need to live our two separate lives, not only just not have sex, but really develop our own identities ourselves, not just within the couple. That's probably confusing. Mylan, Jill, you have some thoughts on this?
Well, Deborah, I'm just wondering about if there were a man and a woman that were living together and decided not to have sex, would there be a problem with that? Let's say they've been in a dating relationship, but they're not married, but then decided because of their faith, they weren't going to have sex. Would that be an okay arrangement?
Well, I guess, if that's what they wanted. I mean, the reason why I don't is because I don't believe that having sex outside of marriage is godly.
Okay.
I believe it's a sin.
Okay.
And so, but at the same time, I know I have a bunch of issues, and I know that from where I am in my life right now, this relationship is comfortable, and it feels right, and we're both deeply in love. So I don't want a sin.
Right, right. And I hear you really wanting to honor God, and it's a difficult thing because your head tells you one thing and your heart tells you another. And, you know, I think when you are in a romantic relationship, I mean, certainly women get their emotional needs met from other women as well as from men, okay? And men are the same way. So we need our same-sex friendships, you know, even for people who live a heterosexual life. But for you, this is not just a friendship. This is not just, you know, we're, you know, heart friends. This is a romantic love relationship. And so I think when you're trying to avoid walking into sin, I think you just have to be honest with yourself that this is really, like what Steve was saying, it's like a marriage where then you have some boundaries on it.
Yeah,
but it's not really official.
And when you say you're in love versus you love her, it does spin it off in a different direction. I want to hear Mylon's take on this.
Deborah, thanks for your honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do believe that many times we make life choices based upon our issues, like you already discussed. You know, I have issues, I have hurts, and I have pains. And some of these pains come from other sex, especially with girls. I think men hurt women over and over and over again throughout their lifetime with their eyes, their phrases, their touches, their advances. And I think women can be very hurt by men. And I apologize for that, for mankind, for men, I should say. I think that you're right. In the New Testament, with the Jerusalem Council, they were struggling. What do we do with the Gentiles? And should they keep the law? And they said, look, there's only three things we want you to not do. Avoid eating meat sacrificed to idols, avoid drinking blood, and avoid fornication. He says, that's the message to the Gentiles from the Jerusalem church. And so you are avoiding fornication. You're saying, we're not going to have sex together. I love this person. She has my affections. But in fact, we are doing what God says. I am a God-fearing person with wounds and injuries trying to live my life to glorify God. But I have a companion, and I have a person I live with, and I happen to like her very much. And I have a hard time saying that you should do anything different. But I think you could get into trouble, as if a man and a woman were living together, just what Jill and Steve are saying. I think it's one of those tough, tough topics, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where there's no definitive answer. You have to do the best that you can, but we're certainly not judging you, and we're proud of the decision you've made about sex.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, broadcasting from WQME. Let's go to Amy, who listens on WQME, and we're going to be in the studio another couple of hours, so hang on if you're on. If you want to try us later in the day, the next couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000. Amy, I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Yes, I actually called last week and couldn't get in because I waited for over an hour and I had to get off the phone. But I'm glad I was able to get in today.
Yeah,
thanks
me too.
For taking my call. And I do enjoy the time I've had to listen to your program. And I have read your book, it's been helpful. I have been in a marriage for 16 years, and my husband's been involved in pornography and then later affair. And what my struggle is that for 7 months I've been hanging in, trying to keep this marriage together, and it's really been difficult. Hang on just a second. Okay. And if I get emotional, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's an emotional topic.
Yeah.
Well,
my thing is I'm starting to feel like I've always loved my husband, but I'm starting to feel like I'm losing my love for him.
Yeah.
And I'm fearful of that. And
well, we always ask people that are in your situation what you've required of him.
Like during this time now?
Everything's
hit the ceiling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are you requiring him to do? If he doesn't do anything, it's going to be very difficult for this relationship to survive.
Right. We've been going to counseling, but he's made no steps to say, and he's been asked by me and the counselor, is he ready to step back in the marriage and to love me? And he says no. He has just this last week said he now wants to work on himself, which is a great step.
Okay. So that's when you say, okay, then, if you want to work, see, you've got to be confident versus wimpy and just be willing to do whatever he wants to do. You have to say to him, well, if you ever have any hopes for our relationship again, you need to go to Every Man's Battle or some program like that. You need to go get your sexual problem fixed. And he says, oh, I'm really praying. I'm reading the Bible and everything. I've never been so spiritual. This is the most amazing time of my life. And you say, great. Then you ought to really want to go and get your sexual problem taken care of.
Well, and it's one of your counselors that you're...
Yeah, I'm not talking about you two together. That's helpful. But he has a problem that you don't have. And he needs to go take care of that problem. Whether it's an addiction or a dependency or habit, he needs to go take care of it.
See, you could be the best wife in the mm-hmm. whole world.
Yeah.
And if he has this addiction, you will pale in comparison to fantasy.
That's right.
And so many women feel hurt, you know, that they were rejected. But it's the power of the human imagination is more powerful than reality in all cases. So in fact, you can't compete with fantasy. So the fact that you're losing love and you mm-hmm. fear that, I don't blame you, especially if you love him. But it's the consequences of his sin. Fear does cause, pain like that and a violation of the marriage does cause love to be lost. And you have a biblical grounds for divorce, and so you may have to say, do I embrace this option that God has given me if, in fact, he chooses not to repent and become the man that I want him to be?
Now, he has asked for forgiveness. We've gotten to that step now.
Yeah, but what
does
that mean?
What has he done on the problem?
Back
see?
To what
yeah,
Steve
and
is
Amy,
saying.
Amy, I think that you're afraid that if your love starts to lessen, that then somehow you're not going to be able to hold everything together. And I think really your love is not enough. It's not enough to hold this marriage together.
Sure isn't.
And you can't do it all for the both of you.
I'm not sure what to do now.
Yeah, well, and I know that's a scary thought.
Consequences saying that now, because you can't step back in the marriage and say you love me, but he is thinking to try to get help now. But I just don't, my thing is, I'm starting to feel like I'm losing the distance.
Well, you say
okay.
We're going to take it one step at a time.
Okay.
And the next step is we need to take care of this sexual addiction so we can even get to, you know, the two of us and see if what we can put back together.
Right. But Amy, embrace your distance.
Mm-hmm.
Accept it.
Yeah.
Instead of being afraid of it, accept it. This is reality. I'm distant.
Right.
Well, and Mylan, like you said, you know, someone who's acting out in this way, it's not something you want to draw close to. That's
don't.
A natural response.
And if you just keep drawing closer, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. Then
he'll play you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, my new book, 5 Blind Spots That Block God's Work in You. And you know, hope without work is not hope at all. It's wishing or it's hopelessness. Hope requires work on our part. We have to do the things necessary for hope to become a reality. Somebody just hoping and doing nothing is really wasting their time. So we need to put action to hope. If you're interested in Walking Into Walls, you call us. You can order it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Also, we'll send you Bill Moss's book, Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times. You know, we have a network of over 900 Christian counselors across the country, and if you call us, we will help you get connected to one of those great clinicians. And just want to mention briefly that I'm going to be preaching this Sunday at Heartland Church in Indianapolis. I'd love for you to join me there. I'll be speaking on Friday at Women of Faith the following week, and then preaching August the 24th at Heartland Church, and then in Adelaide, Australia on the 26th. Come on over and join me in Australia. It'll be a great time. All right. I want to ask you to help us with a project that we're working on to secure this ministry, and it means an extra 1,000 members of Club New Life. And so far, we've gotten over 500, and we need about 4 a day to join for us to achieve this goal, which allows us to operate with about $42,000 more a month. And what a great gift that would be to this ministry. And you can be part of that $42,000 by just doing your part. If God is leading you, only if God's leading you, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE. Or you can go online and give online at newlife.com. I'd also like any of you who can spare a free gift, a one-time gift, please do. We could use it here in August. It is the worst giving month in the history of givingdom, and you could really help us out by that one-time gift. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you support us, we'll send you the new book, Walking Into Walls. Let me read you something from that book real quick here. It says, if I have no relationship to challenge me, I can remain in complete denial. I can do whatever I want and never have to question whether it is the best thing for me. I can pile up bad habits and resentments until they become walls that block my potential. I can avoid the sharpening value of relationships and surrender to a life that offers the least resistance and the least chance for meaning and purpose. Now, those things are true even for people in relationships. If you don't have relationships that challenge you, we need to challenge the people in our relationships. If somebody's unfaithful, we need to challenge them to do the right thing, or they can remain in complete denial and still be in relationship with us. So that's from Walking Into Walls. We want to challenge you to do the right thing. The next right thing could lead you to the next right thing, and that could lead you to finding God's path for your life. We love you. We care about you. And we'll see you here tomorrow. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us for the rest of our time in the studio today. 1-800-229-3000. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.